God puts us in a family, puts us around people, gives us folk to help us in preaching and teaching and fellowship and steering us in the right direction. And no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. And I thank God for the church. Thank you for that great singing sister. Thank you, band, for playing. I wish this morning that you'd turn to two different passages of Scripture, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament with me. 2 Samuel in chapter number 15 will be our Old Testament text this morning. That's where we'll anchor down at momentarily. That's where we'll expound most of our Scripture today. 2 Samuel chapter 15. But as many of you know, that generally everything in the Old Testament has a companion Scripture in the New Testament. There is some verse of Scripture that highlights maybe a devotional truth from the Old Testament into a doctrinal spiritual truth in the New Testament. And we'll look at that this morning. 2 Samuel 15, put your bookmark there, put your tassel there, put your pen there, your finger, whatever. And just hold on, we'll come there in a minute. But then go to the New Testament, to John's Gospel in chapter number 10. John's Gospel and chapter 10. We simply want to make a comparison just for a moment this morning in the introduction, and then we'll run to 2 Samuel chapter 15. John chapter number 10, and we'll begin reading in verse number 7. John chapter 10 and verse number 7 this morning. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's just one door into heaven. There's not two doors into heaven. There's not three doors into heaven. There's not your way, my way, and their way. There's just one door, and Jesus is the door. Most doors I've seen been hung on three hinges. The door to heaven was hung on three nails. And if you go to heaven, you'll go swinging on the cross or you won't go at all this morning. Jesus said, he's the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I want you to notice verse 10. Don't miss this. This will go with our text in 2 Samuel 15. The thief cometh not but for to, say this word with me this morning, steal. And to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Here in John chapter 10, we find that there is a shepherd and there is a thief. We find that the shepherd king in the text is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and you know that. We find the thief in verse number 10 is none other but Satan. It is the devil. It is the enemy of our soul. According to Scripture, Satan is a good-for-nothing, sorry, low-down, rotten thief this morning. I don't have enough bad adjectives to say about the devil. I don't have anything good to say about him other than I might say he don't quit. That's about the only good thing I could say about the devil. Outside of that, he's sorry, he's rotten, he's low down, and he will try and steal every good thing out of your life this morning. Jesus said he comes for one reason, that's to steal. But he's not happy just stealing, he wants to kill. And he's not happy just killing, then he wants to just absolutely destroy it this morning. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that I'd never seen anybody's life wind up in that situation. I wish I could stand up here, Brother David Hyatt, and say, I'd never seen the devil get a hold of somebody's life and rob them of their purity, rob them of their family, rob them of their sobriety, rob them of their joy, rob them of their peace, rob them of their children, and then kill them and destroy their walk with God. I wish I could say I'd never seen that. But the truth is, I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Can I tell you this morning? The devil's real good at what he does. He's good at stealing the things of God out of people's lives. He's good at stealing the word of God out of people's hearts. This morning, can I say, I believe the greatest deterrent for a thief, now I'm talking about stealing something this morning. We're going to get to that text here in a minute. But I say the greatest deterrent for a thief, I reckon, is you need a weapon this morning. Amen. You need to be armed this morning. Sitting right next to my nightstand, I have a 1911 45 ACP. It's locked and loaded. You say, what kind of ammo you got in it? I don't got full metal jackets in it. I don't want them bullets to pass through. I got hollow points in it. You say, preacher, when you shoot, pull the trigger, are you wanting to destroy somebody? Absolutely. If I have to pull the trigger on them, I don't want there to be but one side of the story being told when it's done. Mine. Amen. You say, that's terrible. No, I think what's terrible is somebody so sorry, good for nothing, low down and rotten, that in the dark of the night while me and my babies is sleeping, you try and crawl through my window, break in my door, and come do harm or thieve from me and my family. I figure if you break in my house, I owe it to you to shoot you. I'm not doing you any favors by not shooting you. I owe it to you to put two or three good-sized bullet holes in you. That's my job as a patriotic, good Christian American citizen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. You say, my God, where'd I come to this morning? Look at my Facebook page. You'll see my picture about staying awake in church this morning. You know what kind of church you come to? It's like they said, Brother Kevin, like they said one night, this old gal, she lived by herself. She's an old lady, and she come home from a revival meeting. She done got all ginned up, Brother Parks. She'd been listening to preaching at the revival meeting, and the Word of God was all in her, and she come home and got in bed, and during the night, Brother Travis, something woke her up, and she woke up, and when she started walking through the house, in that dark house, she looked down her little hallway, and there was a man standing in the hallway, that dark silhouette of this big feller, and she didn't know anything else to do, but she is full of the Word of God, and she just thought to herself, repent. This fella needs to get right with God. And she hollered out, Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38 says repent right there, the first word. And she said, Acts 2:38. And when she said that, that fella just hit the floor. I mean, like a sack of taters, he just hit the floor. And she walked over to the phone, picked it up, called 911, said, a man's broke into my house. I don't know what he wants, but he's here in the house. They said, what's he doing? She looked down the hall, said, he's just laying in the floor. Said, please come help. The police showed up, turned the lights on. There was this big fella laying in the floor. They got him up, put handcuffs on him, walked him outside, and when the detective got him in the back of the car, he said, sir, I just got to know something. I just got to know. This woman, she's just a little old frail lady. She ain't got a gun. She ain't got nothing. I mean, what made you so scared? He said, don't got a gun, nothing. That woman hollered at me and said she had an axe and 2.38s. Amen. Praise God. Scared me to death. Axe and 2.38s. You say, what do I need to be able to combat the devil? You need an axe and 2.38s. You need the Bible this morning. The Word of God helps combat the devil and the thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. You say, what should I be conscious of at 11:48 this morning on Sunday morning? You should be conscious of this, sir, that the devil's out to try and rob you of what God's put in your home. You should mark this down, mama. The devil is out to steal from you your babies and to steal from you your joy and to rob you of your home and your marriage. You should mark this down, Bible Missionary Baptist Church, that as good as revival was, as wonderful as the preaching was, as heavenly as the singing was, as great as the fellowship was, lurking somewhere on the outside of the four walls of this church, there was a good-for-nothing thief that he's already got plans. He's already got it in his mind of how he's going to take away everything that God put in our heart this past week. With that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15, and I want you to notice this thief in the Old Testament. I want you to see this thief in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 1, if you found your place, amen. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called and said unto him, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there's no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suitor cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. Watch verse 6 now. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom, here's your word, stole. He's a thief. Stole the hearts of the men of Israel. For a few minutes this morning, I'd like to preach on this thought to your heart. Don't let the devil steal your heart. Don't let the devil, don't let Satan steal your heart this morning. Absalom is a picture of none other than Satan in the text. You say, how was Absalom a picture of Satan? He's a picture of Satan because the Bible said about the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. You'll find just about two chapters prior to our text that Absalom murders his own brother in cold blood. You'll find that Absalom's a picture of the devil in the fact that he is a liar. The Bible said Satan is a liar and he is the father of it. You'll find that Absalom is a picture of the devil, Brother Culp, in the fact that he looks real good. The Bible said back one chapter prior to our text that Absalom was a beautiful fellow. From the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, there was no blemish in him. Can I just pause right here and say this real quick about the devil? The devil, if he was to show up in this room this morning, he wouldn't look like some old nasty, dirty, pitchfork fella cussing and foaming at the mouth. Oh no, he'd look wonderful. He'd look beautiful. You mark this down. When the devil tries to steal your heart, he doesn't do it through something that looks terrible. He doesn't through something that looks appealing to your flesh, something you want, something you desire this morning. And on top of all that, he's not just a picture of the devil in the fact that he's a liar and a murderer and he's good looking, but the Bible said in the text he is a thief this morning. He's just an old thief, and look who he's stealing hearts from. Don't miss this now, you missed the whole message. Look who he is stealing hearts from. He is stealing the hearts of the men of Israel from King David. You say, who is David? David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. David is a picture of Jesus Christ in area after area after area. Brother Bill, we find that Jesus said over there in our text this morning that I'm the good shepherd. That's what David is. David is a good shepherd. We find that the Bible said the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's what David did. He fought a lion and he fought a bear. David is a picture of the Lord. We find that the Lord Jesus, he is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The word Christ means anointed one. And we find that God anointed David to be king over his people Israel. We find David is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he sits on the throne of his father David. And David is the king over Israel. And so what we find in the text is we find Absalom, a picture of the devil, will try and steal the hearts of God's people away from their first love. Was that not the warning to the church in Revelation chapter 2? He said, thou hast left thy first love. In other words, your heart ain't in it like you used to be. Your heart ain't all about the things of God like it used to be. Something stole your heart. The Bible said, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You did run well, but who's hindered you this morning? Can I say this? The devil is good about stealing God's people's heart this morning. He'll steal your heart away from your Bible reading. He'll steal your heart away from your prayer closet. He'll steal your heart away from wanting to go to the house of God. He'll steal your heart away from loving God's people. Why, you'll just get to a place, if you're not careful, where ain't nobody right at the church but you. You're the only person right. Everybody's wrong. They got a side eye at everybody. What are they doing? They must be thinking this. And that ain't the truth. But most of the time, that's the devil that stole our heart. Brother, we're supposed to have brotherly love one toward another. We're supposed to pray for one another. We're supposed to enjoy the presence of God together. But if you're not careful, the devil will use things in your life to slowly steal your time with God, steal your treasure from God, steal your allegiance and your heart from the Lord, and it will happen almost without you knowing it this morning. Do you notice another way that Absalom is like the devil? Absalom's like the devil in the way that he steals the hearts is he does it subtly. He doesn't just show up, Brother Leffler, and jump up and say, "Hey, I'm here to steal everybody's hearts from the king." No. That's not the way the devil does stuff. The devil comes like he did in Genesis 3. Now, the serpent, Brother Joe, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he come in and he said, "Are you sure God said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat every tree of the garden?" I'm telling you this morning, we're fighting an enemy that's smart. And he knows how to subtly start twisting and turning and changing our heart. And listen to me, can I please reiterate this? And I want everybody to understand this because I see it in my own life. Brother Steve, what he's got to work with, our heart, he's got a leg up. Because the Bible said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? My heart, your heart, given half a chance to let the devil start messing with it. And we get our hearts out of the Word of God. And we get our hearts out of the prayer closet. And we get our hearts out of living right. And we get our heart away from the right music. And we get our heart away from the right fellowship. And we just let our heart run wild. And the devil knows how to use it against us. That's why there's a line. I asked Brother Jack to sing it a second time here a couple of weeks ago in a certain service we had. I don't even remember if it was revival or another service that we had, but we sing many times for invitation, Brother Garrett. We sing that song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. I've renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between." You know the song. But the second verse is the one that always gets me. Brother Peanut, it's that second verse that always seems to just poke me right in my heart and hit me right where I am, because the second verse says this: "Nothing between like worldly pleasures. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever, because he is my all. There's nothing between." You realize Absalom doesn't show up saying this is going to harm you. Young people, listen to me. The devil never does show up and start putting things in your heart and start telling you this is going to harm your walk with God. This is going to harm your relationship with your parents. This is going to damage your relationship with your pastor. The devil never does do that. The devil doesn't show up to any mom or daddy in here and start saying, "Look, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'm going to get your kids." He doesn't do that. The devil never does start saying, "Well, look, just spend more time on this and spend more time on that than your relationship and your home and your wife or your husband. And down the road somewhere, I'm just going to end the both of you up in divorce court." He does not show us that. It's just a little bit at a time, and it's a little bit at a time, and little habits of life that just seem like it's no big deal and it's harmless. Those are the things the devil begins to use to steal our hearts. Isn't that how a thief works? Y'all, you've never heard of a thief. There's no such thing as a thief that at 2:00 in the morning rolls up in your yard sounding sirens. Brother Judge, the thief don't show up at 2:00 in the morning and flip the red and blue lights on the siren and go, "Whoop, whoop, whoop, here I am, I'm coming in." No, he slips up when you're comfortable, when you ain't expecting it, when y'all got your fan turned on over there. The house is a crisp 65 degrees. Glory. It's cold because you done bumped the heater way off down so it don't kick on. You done got in there next to your honey, praise God. For those of you that are married. You done curled up over there next to your honey and done got the blanket right on up next to your neck and the fans, two fans is on. The ceiling fan's on and the box fan's on. Hey, glory. You got the drool done come down your mouth about this time. You done about swallowed your tongue and your tonsils because you're snoring so bad. For those of us that don't wear CPAPs, that's us. You done knocked out, and that's when some old sneaky Pete comes around. You know, he don't just come in. No. He slides in when everybody's comfortable and it's quiet. And it just seems like, man, you ain't got a care in this world. I'm telling you, that's the way the devil works this morning. Is that not why, Brother Skip, that Peter told us, be sober, be vigilant, be on the lookout? That's what Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour this morning. I want you to notice some things about how Absalom, a picture of Satan, stole God's people's heart from the picture of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, preacher, I'd never let the devil steal my heart from this. I'd never let the devil steal my heart from that. I'd never let the devil steal my heart from loving the Lord and walking with God. Be careful. He's good at what he does. Let me show you three things real quick. Three things and we're out of here, but I want to give you what's on my heart this morning. How did he steal their hearts? Number one, he stole their hearts firstly because they were deceived by their feelings. They were deceived by their feelings. Watch the feelings in their own life he used to deceive them with. Please don't miss this. Watch verse number one. Watch the first feeling. It was a feeling of excitement. Watch this feeling. Look at verse 1, chapter 15. And it came to pass after this. Watch how he starts getting the heart. Watch. That Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Look, it's the feeling of excitement. I mean, brother, it's a full-blown parade every time Absalom comes into town. Son, he's got 50 men in chariots running before him. I mean, brother, they're blowing on trumpets. They're shouting the praises of Absalom, and they come running in and saying, everybody needs to see this. This is the most awesome, coolest, super dyna-whooping thing you've ever seen in your life. You just can't do without this. You got to hurry up. Come on. Come on. Everybody needs to get up here. It's awesome. Son, they got the tunes jamming. I mean, brother, they got the boom box going, boom, chicka, 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 boom, chicka, chicka. Absalom, yeah. I mean, bro, they got it bouncing. And about that time, here come the chariots flying down the road. I mean, bro, they two-wheel drifting, and they got the chariots going. They doing tricks. And that's what's going on. The men are parading before him, shouting his name. Surely they got some music, and they got the chariots putting on the dog out there. You say, what's the first thing he's going to use to steal their hearts? Giving them something exciting that they feel like, I just can't miss out on this. I'm telling you, we live in a society through that phone you got and through the TV and through all the forms of social media and things we see with our eyes, this world constantly says, you got to see this. You got to hear this. You got to be a part of this. This is awesome. This is cool. Have you ever noticed how the world always got some latest, newest, greatest, awesomest thing you've got to be a part of? You know what do you some good, young people? Adults alike. The adults are sucked in just about as kids are. Here's what do you some good. The next time the world says, you got to see this, you got to hear this, if you don't get in on this, you're missing out. I mean, you're going to miss the fun. You're going to miss the spectacle. You got to get, here's what do you some good. Just say, not interested. Just watch how much stuff you can do without and don't even interest you in the least bit. You know what you might end up finding out? I don't need what the world's got. I don't need what the devil's holding up and saying, I must have this. Me and my wife got to have this. Me and my kids got to do this. Us teenagers, we've got to listen to this music to be accepted. We've got to wear these clothes so that we can get in on. It's the most exciting thing happening. No, you don't. The devil will always give you something exciting without God this morning. Isn't it funny that David, you don't ever find where David runs around parading himself. You know how David gets glory? God gave it to him. See, here's the difference. Absalom's running around, blowing trumpets, riding chariots, 50 men hollering. But David, he's just the still small voice that God blesses. You know what this world will tell y'all? The world will tell you this. The world will tell you, that old going to church, that just ain't exciting. You're going to get in there and you're going to hear them songs you've heard before. You're going to hear that preacher preach just like he's preached before. That ain't cool. That ain't fun. That ain't exciting. I'm telling you, that's the way God gets things done in our heart. And the devil will try and steal our heart by using something exciting. I just say this. Something that has to constantly tell you how great it is and how awesome it is probably ain't. The world will constantly tell you, you got to have this, you need to do this. It probably ain't as great as what you think it is. He deceived them by their feelings of needing something exciting. It's a distraction. It's getting them looking at something over here while the plan is doing something over here. My God, I think Absalom was a Democrat. Look at COVID, bam, take your liberties. Look at Ukraine, bam, send billions of dollars through the back door so we can get more of it back to ourselves. Come on now. Anyways, I'm sorry I told y'all I wasn't going to say nothing else political. I'm sorry. Primaries are coming up, had to say one thing, all right. Vote for Mark Robinson, God bless you. Here we find he deceived them by their feelings of some excitement. Watch this. Not only did he deceive them with something exciting, but he deceived them easily. That's what blows my mind about this. Brother Rodney, it blows my mind how easily these people, God's people, are deceived. But Brother Keith Haynes, doesn't the scripture tell us over and over, warn us about being deceived? Why does Paul and John and all of them in their epistles warn us about being deceived? Don't be deceived. Watch out for deception, because he knows we're prone to be deceived. Brother, there's so much stuff. Listen to me. And we're on YouTube and we're on the internet. But I just want to say this. You better be careful getting all your info and setting up somebody on the internet like everything they say is the gospel. And I'm following that. No, sir. Let me just say this to anybody watching by YouTube. If you don't go to Bible Missionary Baptist Church, I am not your pastor. If you're not a member of Bible Missionary Baptist Church, I am not your internet pastor. We don't have an internet campus. You need to find you a local, I'm talking the internet right now. You need to find you a local church that you can be faithful to, that a man of God, I'm glad you watch. I'm glad y'all listen. I want y'all to, but I'm not your pastor. You need to find somebody in person that you're accountable to and a group of people that you can get and hear the word of God with. All right with that? I'm literally watching churches, Brother Jack. I'll get back to my text in a minute. I ain't preached in like a week and a half. Y'all, I'm sitting here frothing at the blessed mouth. Trying to get all this off my chest just quick as I can, Brother Jacob, just fast as I can. But I'm watching churches that literally say, we want you to become an online member of our church. Like you've joined our church, Brother John Glenn, through the online. You don't ever have to come. Send you money. Y'all smart enough to see what this is, right? Send you money. Don't ever have to come. You know, I ain't got to. Just send you money, and that's good enough. No, it ain't. There's got to be somewhere about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And here we find he's deceiving them easily. What I was getting at is this. Don't sit there on YouTube and be like, well, I believe everything that guy says. My pastor's wrong. That guy's right. Well, then you need to go to his church. And if he ain't got a church, then he ain't worth following no ways. Come on now. I'm amazed at how many of these internet jockeys are actually causing dissension in churches because people watching them more than they're listening to the guy who prays with them, be there for their weddings and their burials and the whole nine yards. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm not saying don't watch the stuff, but I'm saying, man, filter through the Word of God. Talking about how easily he stole them. Watch. You say, how did he do this? How did he do it? He done it by telling them what they wanted to hear. We all like to be told what we want to hear. I like to be told what I want to hear. Sometimes I'll go home. And I think, man, I really meant something. That Brother Roger, that right there, that was... That's Billy Sunday worth preaching right there, praise God. I go home, ask my wife, what do you think about that message? Eh. My wife's a real blessing. She is. Normally, it's them messages that really went over the top and God just blessed them. Them's the ones she says, that wasn't that great. You know what? You say, what's she doing? She's keeping me down. But it's them messages I sure enough bombed out. I mean, brother, I kicked at the field goal and it went phew, like that over that way and totally missed the ball. Them's the ones she said, baby, that was great. That's a good woman right there. Builds you up when you're down and take you down when you're up too high. That's right. But Absalom is not so. Absalom's the kind of guy, Brother Carl, he's telling everybody what they want to hear. That's how he stole their heart. That's what the devil will do to you. He'll just tell you everything. It don't matter how far off base you are from the Bible. It don't matter how wicked you're wanting to live. The devil just tells you, that's right, that's right. Good job, that's right. Watch the text. Watch what he does. Verse number 2. Watch verse 2. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him. He's not coming to Absalom. He's supposed to go to the king. Whatever happened taking our problems to Jesus? Then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? He said, thy servant's one of the tribes of Israel. Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right. But what if they weren't? You're not going to tell me, Brother Chad, somebody in this group had some matters that weren't good and weren't right. It's far out in left field. They were just plain old wrong. But Absalom wasn't going to tell him why. He wants to steal the heart. Keep reading here. Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. How did he easily steal their heart? He just told them what they wanted to hear. Is that not the generation we live in? It's the generation that you can be gay. You can be shacked up and live in fornication. I just talked to a church member 5 minutes before service started. Brother Noah, 5 minutes before service started, I just talked to a church member that said he heard about a local independent Baptist pastor in the area that one of the members asked him, is it okay to drink? And the pastor said, I don't got no verse of scripture to say it's wrong to drink. What? Am I the one that's insane? Yeah. Am I crazy or is it wrong to drink, Brother Bill? Amen. How old are you?
14.
14 years old. No, it ain't even right to drink. He didn't even have to go to Bible college to figure that out. Amen. Yeah. I'm just blown away by this. You say, what's the point of telling people this kind of stuff? It's easy. Yeah. And it tells them just what they want to hear. Yeah. We are living in a generation that even preachers will just tell people what they want to hear. I'm telling you, that's a ploy of the devil. Listen to me. I hope you do come to church sometimes and you leave out feeling like you're on a mountaintop and like, man, you walking on clouds and, man, feel great and feel good. But if that's all you ever feel every time you walk out, that ain't the Holy Ghost, Brother Charlie, and that ain't God, Brother Kevin. Every once in a while, we all ought to walk out saying, man, I need to get right with God. I'm lowering the snake's belly in a wagon track. The Holy Ghost of God reproves, rebukes, and exhorts this morning. And it was easy for him to steal them. Why? Because he just told them what they wanted to hear. Don't always go looking for the person that's going to tell you what you want to hear. Go looking for the person that's going to tell you the truth. Brother Cliff, I've lived long enough to watch there are some people that the only reason why they go talk to that brother or that sister or whoever is because they know they're going to tell them what they want to hear. You ought to knock that out of your mindset. You ought to head to the place where you know they're going to tell you the truth. You say, where can I always go get the truth? You can go to the king. He'll always tell you the truth. He'll always tell you the truth. He'll always tell you what's right. Isn't it something here in the text? I got to hurry and get to my second point. It's the one I really want to get to. It's the one I like the best out of all of them. But here in the text, we find that Absalom says this in verse number 3. He says, "There is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." I don't believe a word of that, Brother Butch. I don't believe a word of that. David loved his people. He's a picture of Jesus. He loved his people. He loved them sheep. And I believe if they wanted to get to the king or needed to be heard, they could have. You don't find anywhere in the Bible where David wouldn't have heard them if they wanted to be. What stopped them from getting to David? They run into Absalom first. He made sure he was catching them before they could get to the king. Y'all listen to me. There are some things you should take to the king. Y'all, there's some things in my life I don't even take to my wife. Why? They need to go to the king. There's some things my wife deals with. She don't need to take it to me. She needs to take it to the king. I believe we've done the church world a disservice by thinking we've got to tell everyone everything about our lives. No, you don't. You need to take it to the king. I was just talking to Scott Matthews up here the other night. We was having a long conversation over dinner one day, and then the next night at service, we got talking about this social media age and how everybody's just too connected. I wish we could go back. I really do. I wish we could go back to the day, Brother William, when we didn't have all these devices. I remember the day when we could leave the house and nobody could call us. Hallelujah. Yeah. Brother Jeff about talked in tongues on that point right there. Couldn't text and have no fine mind, nothing. You left the house, son, and they just trusted that you wasn't doing what you wasn't supposed to be doing. You're gone. I miss him. But me and Brother Scott was talking about we're living in a day where everybody knows what everybody else is doing. And you can just tell everybody what everybody's doing. I used to like the days when it was like this. Brother Donald, I used to like the days when you came to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and you didn't even see each other again. I'm not saying I don't like to see you. That's all I'm saying. But I'm saying you had to go home and live what you heard. And there wasn't nobody there to text and wasn't nobody there to call. You had to go home, open your Bible, and start putting into practice what you'd heard and pray and walk with God.
Right.
How about that? You say, what did it teach us? It taught us to go to God. It taught us to walk with God. It taught us to lean on God. It taught us to trust in God. And we watch God answer prayer. And we watch God solve problems. And we watch God do things in our life that nobody else could do. I'm talking about the devil makes it easy for us. Stole it easily. Stole it with excitement. You say, how did the devil steal their heart? He did it through deceiving their feelings. How did the devil steal their heart? Watch this, watch this. Don't miss this. This is the best point of the message. Don't miss this, and we're going to run to the close. Not only by deceiving their feelings, but we see that David was forgotten. David was forgotten. How could they forget David? Brother Jason Fleming, I thought to myself, you read these verses here, it's like they just totally forgot about David. How could you forget? There's nothing wrong with David's reign. The kingdom's going good. Everything's well, but Absalom makes them think something is better than David reigning over them. Stop right there. Listen to me. You young people, the devil will come by and make you think there's something better than the preaching of the Word of God. There's something better than rules and regulations. There's something better than living clean and living right. And he'll try and get you dissatisfied with God reigning over your life, but that's not true. There's no hope in Absalom's way, but there's hope in the king's way this morning. I thought about David. How could you forget David? Y'all listen to me, listen to me. David had slain the giant, Brother Hunter. David had slain the giant. Y'all remember 1 Samuel 17? Oh, 1 Samuel 17 happened. In old 1 Samuel 17, Brother Dwayne, Israel couldn't win. They was running and hiding, couldn't beat. There's a 9-foot-tall man killer out there that's mocking them and cussing them. But old David walked out on the battlefield and took their giant down with a sling and a rock. David didn't just slay the giant. David was the one they sung about in songs. The very next chapter, they sing and say, Saul hath slain his thousands, but David, he has 10,000s. They're worshiping God and praising David and say, look what David has done. Nobody could do. Y'all hang with me. I'm talking about Jesus. Nobody could do what he's done in our life. David was the one that settled the nation. The nation was in turmoil and trouble until David took the reins. And when David took the reins, there came peace and joy and quiet. I say David's the one that sought the presence of God. He's the one that brought the ark of God back into Jerusalem, and the presence of God showed up. How in the world could they forget what David had done in their lives? That's how they got their heart stole. And this morning, you know how Christians get their heart stole from Jesus? They forget what he's done. They forget where he's brought them from. Y'all look back in your life. How could we ever let our heart get cold? How could we ever let our heart get stolen? Look back in your life. Brother Zeke, look back. He's slain our giants in front of our eyes. We've sung songs about him. We've lifted him up in worship. Our life was in turmoil. Our life was in trouble. Our life was in a mess. But Jesus came in and ruled and reigned in our heart. He brought the power and the presence of God into our soul. How could we forget about him? He's the best thing ever happened to us this morning. And yet somehow, Brother James, we forget. Who but Jesus could have done what he's done in your life? Who but Jesus could have wiped out the giants that was too big for you to wipe out? Who but Jesus could have brought peace into the troubled kingdom of your soul? Who but Jesus could have brought the presence of the Holy Ghost into your life? Nobody. Just him. And how could we ever get to the place, Brother Jeremiah, where we just forget how good he's been? But we do. Watch your text. Watch, it don't happen overnight. See, you sit here this morning and you say, not me. I'll never forget how good God's been. I'll always serve the Lord, be faithful to church, read my Bible, pray, walk with God, live clean. Hang on. He don't steal their heart like that. Right. Watch your book. Watch your book here. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Watch verse 6 and 7 together. Verse 6, on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Watch it, verse 7. Check it out. And it came to pass. Y'all seeing that with me?
Yeah.
After 40 years. Oh, he didn't do it overnight.
Right.
It wasn't just some quick run in, change your heart, steal your heart. No, no, no. It took a while. Oh, y'all listen to me. The devil's so smart, and the devil's got all the time. Brother Randy, the devil's got plenty of time. He ain't got to change your heart today. He's satisfied just to do a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. You know what Absalom was saying? He was saying this. He was saying, your matters are good and right, but the king don't care. You know what the devil will tell you? The devil will tell you, you got some real problems in your life or some grievances. You got, God don't care though. God don't care. You're out here by yourself. If the Lord cared, he'd do something about it. I'm telling you, that's a sorry, good-for-nothing lie hatched out of hell. There is somebody that cares. We can cast all our care on him because he cares for us this morning. You better be careful, friend. The devil knows how to make you forget the Lord your God. How does he do it? By time. It just takes a while. Boy, I've watched some Christians. I didn't just get started yesterday. I'm not nearly as old in this thing as some people. Sister Jane been in this thing a long time. How many years you been saved serving God, Sister Jane?
I was saved in 1952.
1952 got saved. That sister of God right there used to go down to Northside Baptist down here right off of 85 before it got liberal as the devil. She used to go down there when an old preacher named Brother Hudson used to pastor down there, and people like Harold D. Seitler and Oliver B. Green and men like that would come preach there. I mean, leather-lung, fire-breathing Bible preachers come down there. That lady knows, and I'm telling you, you can ask old saints of God that's been in it for 30 and 40 and 50 years. I ain't been in it but a little over 20. But I want y'all to hear something. I have watched people that they got started in this thing, and son, when they got started, woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Let me sing in the choir. Let me pray at the altar. Let me read my Bible. Let me show up to church. Let me go visit someone. Let me do. I'm all in. Sunday school, Sunday night. I'm all in. And I watch. And just a little bit. It don't all happen. It don't happen in one service. It don't happen in 1 month. Normally, don't happen in 1 year. But you can almost just watch the devil steal a little bit of their enthusiasm, a little bit of their joy. I ain't saying they're lost. I think they're saved. A little bit of their walk with God. And after a while, it took some years. And they look back, my God, look what all he stole from me. It don't even mean the same to me as it used to. Oh, can I tell you, I thank God, thank God, thank God this morning that there's some people in this story that their heart stays with the King. Hallelujah. Their heart stays with the King. If there's one thing I want this morning, I want my heart to stay with the King. I don't want to get out of touch with the King. I don't want this world, and I don't want the devil to steal my love from my King, Brother Jimmy. Watch this in the text. We're going to run to the finish here. Watch this in the text. Look at chapter 15. Watch verse 17. Look at verse 17. David has left the kingdom. He's running. Absalom's going to try and kill him. And watch verse 17 of chapter 15. And the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried at a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him. All the Cherethites and all the Pelethites and all the Gittites. 600 men which came after him from Gath, back when he lived in the land of the Philistines, when he ran from Saul in 1 Samuel, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Now watch this fella. I love old Attai. Verse 19. Then said the king to Attai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. He said, just go on back. Don't worry about following me. It might get rough out here. I mean, y'all, you know it's going to get rough. Preacher Goodman preached out that text. You know what's coming. Shimei's fixing to show up and throw rocks at them. You might not want to go with us. They might cuss you up here. They might throw rocks at you up here. Absalom's after you up here. But watch verse 21. And Attai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Attai, go and pass over. And Attai the Gittite passed over. Watch, not just him though, and all his men, and even his youngins, and all the little ones that were with him. Thank God they was somebody that said, I ain't leaving the king. I'm staying with my king. Everybody else may be running off from the king. Everybody else's hearts may be turned bad. But I remember what the king did for me. He came down there into Gath when I was just an old lost Gittite, when I was just an old lost Gentile. He got me out from down there. He's put me in the family of God. How can I leave the king? Thank God this morning. How could we leave the king? He come got us when we was lost without God, picked us up, put us in the family of God. How could we ever let our heart go astray? And I love Brother Mikey. I love the fact that it said he didn't come by himself. He brought his little ones too. He said, I even want my family to follow the king. He said, I want my family to know that serving the king's wonderful. Serving the king's worth it. You're worthy of it. This morning I want my children to know. I want these young people to know. There ain't nothing out in that world worth letting our heart get turned for. There ain't no entertainment. There ain't no fun. There ain't no pleasure. There ain't no person worth going back on the king. He's worth going all the way. Praise God. Don't let the devil steal your heart. How'd he steal her heart? Because they were deceived by the feelings. Because David was forgotten. And I'm done. Lastly, we find in the text that there was a disaster of a finish. Watch this disaster of a finish. This is what happens when you let Satan steal your heart. Go with me to chapter 18. Chapter 18, watch the disaster of a finish. You say, oh, I'm sure, Brother Mike Hyde, I'm sure that there was people that let their heart get stole from the king that said, it's not that big a deal. So what? It's not that big a deal. After all, he's the king's son. Not that big a deal. Oh, but watch the disaster of the finish. Chapter 18, we find David's forces and Absalom's forces finally run into each other. Verse 6 of chapter 18. So the people went out into the field against Israel. And the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. You know who all those men were that ended up dying out there? Listen to me, don't miss this, I'm through. You say, who's all them fellas that's got 20,000 of them? Who are they? They're the people that over a 40-year span, slowly but surely, had their hearts stole. And I can imagine just about the time that the sword of one of David's men was coming down on them to snuff their life out. I imagine they thought, it wasn't supposed to be this way. Absalom didn't say, that's the way the devil does it, y'all. Absalom didn't say it was going to happen like this. Absalom said, we was going to have a good time. Absalom said everything would be okay. But Brother Mark, Absalom didn't show him what was coming down the road. And I want you to hear me this morning. As some of us sitting in here, your heart is not right with the king. I'm no prophet, neither the son of a prophet. But I can tell you this. I can tell you, looking over this congregation, I'm glad you're sitting in here, but this ain't where it needs to be. And you've believed the lie of the Absalom from hell, the devil, who is trying to steal your affection for the Lord Jesus. He's trying to steal your allegiance to the Lord Jesus. Talking about Jesus this morning. He's the one who deserves all of our hearts. Some time of year Valentine's, ain't it? When we give hearts to each other. You know the greatest thing you could do this morning? Bring your heart down here and give it all to Jesus. Every bit of it. All of it. Not holding some back and saying, well, I got that little area. I kind of like that. That's the area that Absalom's stealing from you. Well, I don't want to give up that. Mom and Daddy don't know about it. My husband don't know about it. Preacher don't know about it. My wife has no idea. No, but I'm telling you, God knows and the devil knows. And the more you keep giving up in your heart to the devil, the more he'll take. He's not satisfied with a little bit. He wants to wind you up like the servants of Absalom. I don't even have time to show you what happens to Absalom. You read it for yourself. It's in the next several verses. It's all tangled up. That's where following Absalom will get you to. And I'm sure they thought to themselves, it just wasn't going to be this way. How do I keep from having my heart stole? Don't forget what Jesus has done for you. Boy, it'll keep your heart in love with Jesus. It'll keep you singing. It'll keep you worshiping. It'll keep you walking with God, in love with the church, in love with the Bible, in love with the things of God. How? If you just remember what Jesus did for you. Not what anybody, what Jesus did for you. Don't get your feelings deceived by the devil. He'll mess with our feelings. Watch out. Don't wind up like this morning. Esther, help me over here if you would. Can I say this while she's coming? If you've never given your heart to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, this morning I wonder if you wouldn't come to an altar and say, Lord, I'm lost. I've never trusted Christ and been born again. Won't you come give your whole heart to Him? And child of God, every child of the King in the building, you're not a child of the devil anymore if you're saved. You're a child of the King. Why don't you come and once again give Him your whole heart? I want you to have my whole heart. I don't want Absalom to have any part of my heart. I want Jesus to have all that He bought, all that He paid for. Let's all stand this morning. Father, I tried to be obedient and preach what You laid on my heart. I tried to give Your people my whole heart this morning. God, I pray that You would help us not reject the warning, but heed it this morning and run to the King. Run to the King. Run to the King. You can help our heart. You can fix our heart. You'll take our heart if we'll give it to You. Help us to let You reclaim areas of our heart that we've let the devil steal. Forgive me.